Daddy, what are you doing?
We're recording a podcast.
Who's listening?
Islander fans are listening.
Where are they?
Well, they're right here.
Welcome to the Isles Faithful Podcast with your host, Michael Schurlein.
Welcome back to the Isles Faithful Podcast. This is episode 23. I'm your host, as always, Michael Schurlein. Today is Sunday, February 10th, 2019, and this is the second episode in a back-to-back series here. We recorded yesterday with JP and VA. Today I'm joined by Sean Connors. It's BCKT106 on Twitter. Sean, how is it going?
Fantastic, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing really well, especially on this back-to-back winning sweep here this weekend. And the Islanders are 9-0 on the second half of back-to-backs. That is just an insane stat, something I didn't really expect. But I believe we both expected the team to be pretty much exactly where they are in first place in the Metro at this point, and a commanding lead in first place at that.
Yes, the points right now, I think, is fantastic. I mean, what do they say? I think it's 5 over Pittsburgh right now, something like that. I have to look at standings again. But
I think it's 9 over Pittsburgh.
Oh, All right, there you go. Okay.
7 over Columbus. I think it was 7 over Columbus in Washington, or 5 over Washington, something like that.
Yeah, that's what it was. I think it was 5 over Washington. Yeah, exactly. Just a quick look up. But 72 points. I mean, who would have thought that, you know? And I was looking at the differential in goals against and goals for, you know, 27. Hey, come on. You look at that back last year, that's a huge improvement too.
I cannot get over the fact still, I bring this up from time to time over the episodes here, that I cannot believe that Barry Trotz is our head coach. And I thank the lucky stars every single day that this guy is the bench boss for the New York Islanders. He's worked magic. And if he's not the Jack Adams winner this year, then there's something seriously wrong in the NHL.
Well, would that be to go back and say the Islanders never really get the full credit? You know, if that was the case, if Trotz doesn't get it, I mean, I'd be like, yeah, here we go. It's Islanders. No respect once again. But you're right. I agree. Listen, there's no reason why he shouldn't. At this point, he's doing a phenomenal job with them.
You know, and I think that all those feelings about not getting any respect and not being, you know, taken seriously in the NHL, that is all taking a backseat to, you know, it being real. And the league and the media and everybody is noticing now that, you know, management is different, and there's real NHL caliber head coaches and coaching staff in general whipping this team into shape. And they're ultimately the same team minus a couple of faces from last year and years prior. So, I mean, that just goes to show you, you know, maybe they could have been doing more damage here over the last couple of seasons, but Barry Trotz has them all marching to the same drum, or the beat of the same drum, you should say.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you on that one. It's been fun. It's been, as they say, a fun season. And just watching them, it's like the days of watching before. You go into these games, even like today, you know, you're up 2-1 going into the third. How many times did most of us as fans sit there and go, oh, my God, we're going to blow this. We're going to lose it. And, you know, this year you watch the games and you're like, wow, you know what? I'm okay with this. I think we're going to do okay. And sure enough, they come out with a win again. And like you said, you know, a 9-0 record, you know, on back-to-back is phenomenal.
If you think about it like this, it's 18 points. 18 yeah. points. Yeah. On back-to-backs, where teams often struggle on the second half of back-to-backs, and that's, you know, a good part of their season is on a back-to-back at that point. You know, it's like maybe like a fourth of the season or a little less, but that's a phenomenal amount of points to stockpile, especially often where you're winning on the front end of the back-to-back as well this season. So
yeah, no, it's been fun. I'm giddy. I feel like I'm a kid again. We laugh about it. And we're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this team is doing this well right now. And, you know, like I said earlier, I said, oh, my God, forget it. Back in October, I'd be like, yeah, I'd be happy if we're middle of the pack and progressing. And here we are. And you told me we'd be in first place in the Metro and holding a 5-point lead over the Capitals, who just won the cup. I'd be like, yeah, OK. Yeah. What are you doing? You know?
I don't know. I'm pinching myself, but I'm enjoying every second of it, and I'm making plans for playoff hockey here moving forward.
I think we all are, which is kind of nice, right? I think that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, before we get too carried away with talking about current events here, I wanted to bring you on. I reached out to you a couple weeks back, and we've both been pretty busy, so finally our schedules allowed us to get on here. And unfortunately, it came, you know, at the cost of your son's team losing and getting knocked out yesterday. I apologize. Yeah,
it happens. You know what? That's hockey. And you got to say with, I think it was Trot said today, if you're in it mentally, you should have a good game. Unfortunately, our boys are one game not mentally. And, you know, it's a 7 a.m. start for these guys. And I don't envy those games anymore. I'm done. So.
So for those of you who are listening to the podcast, you know, after this goes live, Sean is the gentleman on the MSG commercials where he's drawing those handmade Islander drawings that are fantastic. He actually offers them up for sale, which we'll get into later as well. But he's been doing this for quite some time. I've learned in our little pre-chat prior to recording, and I wanted to bring him on so he could talk about it, talk about the history, what he's experienced, and how the MSG spot came to be. So, Sean, why don't you just get right into it? Give us the skinny, as they say.
Yeah, the skinny. Yeah, it goes back quite some time. Just being a fan, first of all, and the fortunate fact to dip my toes into the water, as they say, for my drawings and to be part of a New York Islander team and been a fan of for so long. It goes back to probably the early 90s, going to games and whatever. And I got hooked up with, what was it? It was the Henry Viscardi School in like Wilson Park. And it was a young woman who approached me and saw some of my artwork and said, could you do a couple of drawings? And the first two drawings I did was Todd Bertuzzi and I believe Ziggy Palfy. And from there, they managed to get them signed by the players. And then I was notified or actually called by the New York Islanders after the fact and said, hey, you know, could we get you in contact with Dennis Vasky? He does the Easter Seal auction and he saw your work and he's wondering if you could maybe do a couple drawings where they could auction them off for the Easter Seals. And, you know, here I think I was 23, 24 at the time. And I'm like, yeah, sure. No problem. I end up cranking out, like, I think 10 drawings. It was anywhere from Dennis Vasky, Bertuzzi, Palfy, Gillies, Nystrom. I did one piece with Milbury and Berard. And all these pieces were signed, and they were all auctioned off. And it just kind of snowballed a little bit from there. Then Claude Lapointe reached out to me. And then it was Marty McGinnis, Derek King, Matt Schneider. These guys that came in and they're just, you know, you're sitting there and they saw the artwork and then I was selling artwork to these guys and I was like, wow, this is pretty cool. And it's been a great effect. Just kind of keeps going. And then of course you had the lull, you know, it was like those early years were great years and then you kind of disappeared. But I always kept in touch. I always did other drawings for other people, did more Islander stuff, kind of moved forward, stayed in touch with a couple people and just kept drawing. So that's the earlier phase. You know, so, I mean, I have great memorabilia. I have stuff in my room. You know, I have an Islanders fisherman jersey signed by the entire team, kind of like a thank you. I got Ziggy Palfy's autograph. I got a drawing in my son's room of Mario Lemieux that I did. And then I asked as a favor. I said, hey, what are the chances Mario could sign this? He's coming in for this game. It was like back in February of what time? I could look at the date. But they were like, yeah, I don't think that'll be a problem. Sure enough, it came back and they signed it. You know, I'm like, holy cow, you know. And that was right before he retired, I guess, the first time for his for Hodgkins.
Yep.
So had that and that was pretty cool. And I'm like, wow, that's wild. And like I said, then it kind of disappeared for a little bit. You know, life goes on, as they say. You know, you dip off a little bit and, you know, players, I tried to sell it. I went into the city. I went to the NHL offices. Then went to Steiner Sports, pitched my work. A couple things came out, nothing crazy. But I would say probably within the last like 4 or 5 years, the biggest step came was from Matt Martin and social media. I was doing a piece for a friend of mine for Father's Day. It was Matt Martin, his favorite player before, of course, he went to Toronto. And I'm working on it. And then I'm like, I kept posting pictures on Instagram. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just instant message him. Let me see what happens. and I guess persistency enough, as they say, you know, kept, you know, nudging and nagging. And he finally wrote back. He goes, "I think I can do something for you." So he finally got back to me and said, "All right, you know what? Can you maybe meet me here?" I was like, "Yeah, I think so." So at the time, then I think I took my son out of school because it was like in the middle of the day. And I'm like, "All right, come on, you got to go." He's like, "What? We're going to go meet Matt Martin?" I'm like, "Yeah." So I met with Matt Martin. He signed this piece. I said, "Awesome." Talked to him for a little bit. And then I did a piece for him as a thank you. And if you go on, I guess, Twitter, it's on there. And if you go on my Instagram account, you'll see the picture of Matt Martin. It was the Winter Classic one, or the Winter Stadium Series against the Rangers. So Matt's got that. And we still stay in touch every now and then. So we're just trying to do a couple things there. As I keep rambling here, you know, I'm just like, you know, trying to keep put pieces together and stuff. I got to say, I mean, I've had a very, you know, interesting time frame with it. I mean, I've gone to certain functions and I've sat at a table with Stan Fischler. I sat at a table with Kirk Muller back in the day. And let me tell you that's a whole nother, that could be another hour right there. That was interesting. So talk about somebody who did not want to be an Islander. Okay. But good times there. So coming up to forefront now, it's great to have Matt Martin back. I actually have somebody I've been kind of like in contact with a little bit every now and then. So I know there's a couple things we might be working on for his charities as well. So you might see some more pieces for that. Current piece I'm working on right now is the, what I call the goalie piece of Robin Leonard and Thomas Greiss. Hopefully I'll get that finished soon, but a couple things have come up, as we all know, and just as they say, life. So I'm trying to work on that. But let's go to, I guess, when MSG contacted me. January last year, I was posting some stuff, and then MSG Networks put up like Fan Art Friday. So I put up a bunch of pieces. I put up a piece I did of Eli Manning. I put a couple Islander pieces up. I think I put a couple Yankee pieces up that I did. And then they reached out to me and they said, "Hey, you know, we'd really like to use your Eli Manning," since it was like about February, right before the Super Bowl, for Super Bowl week. And I'm like, absolutely. So that pushed it out. So I was like, oh, cool. So I got some recognition there. And of course, a couple of things, you know, light up. And then I guess it was probably June, July, maybe July, MSG reached out again, and this whole New York Islander fandom. And I know they do it with the Rangers and the Devils and the Knicks and all the other teams too. Craig Silverstein reached out to me from MSG Networks, and he said, "Hey, we'd like to, you know, set up a time, place, film you doing a piece, finishing a piece, working on a piece." And I said, "You know what? I'm kind of working on this new Matt Barzal piece." I said, "It's almost done. Give me a little more time. Let me kind of, you know, I don't know how long you're gonna need to film." They said, "You know, give us, you know, a couple hours. We'll come to your house. We'll do whatever." So they sat down. It was great. The guys came. They were all awesome. Sat here, filmed me for about 2 hours. I finished up the Barzal piece. And that's what you see now on MSG, you know, go, you know, the whole network stuff. So that's where that kind of originated. So just, you know, a happenstance. And I'll tell you what, it's been, like I said in my commercial, it's been a fun ride, and I'll take it as long as I can.
That's awesome, man. And I'm really happy for you. I'm surprised. I've had a very good run with the Islanders in the NHL. I've talked about it a bunch of times, and I'm surprised actually we haven't crossed paths earlier. You know, I was around the team and I covered the team on a day-to-day basis from 2007 until 2011. So
yeah, I'm surprised. You know? I mean, the stuff has been around, and like I said, you know, going with the players, like Claude Lapointe owns, it's almost like a life-size piece. I think when I was done with it, it was over 5 feet tall.
Wow.
And, you know, I was like, because he was like, "Hey, you know, I want something kind of unique, something different." And I'm like, "Yeah, all right, I could do this." And he's like, "No, I want it like big." And I was like, "Well, how big?" And he's like, "Almost life-size." So there was it's like I had to put it on a fence, on a regulation 6-foot fence, just to take a picture of it. And I was like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this." So that was really cool.
How'd you fit that on your art table?
You know, I actually didn't. You know, it was a friend of mine had an art studio in Rockville Center. And, you know, she gave me some space and time. And I went and worked on it there for like a couple of weeks. So I had that opportunity there. Thank God. Yeah, my drawing table is not that big. I mean, you can see what I'm, you know, from the commercial alone, I'm like, the biggest piece I'm working on is like a 19 by 24. So, and this thing was 5 foot. And I'm like, where am I going to do this? You know?
Wow, man. We can go down so many different paths here.
Yeah. No, and you know, I think it's kind of cool because I do, and it's kind of, it's awesome to be able to share some of the stories because, like I said, I can go into the Kirk Muller. I mean, I sat and spoke to Matthew Schneider for a little while, you know, and to sit at a table with like a gentleman like Stan Fischler. It was like a breakfast, and we sat there and, you know, just talking about hockey and, you know, the Maven and what he knows. And it was just like, here I am, this, you know, I don't think I was like 24, 25 year old, you know, kid, and, you know, and I was blown away. And then, you know, going up to Ziggy Palfy, who was at the time maybe like 21, and I'm shaking like a little kid. Would you sign this, sir? You know, and I'm like, dude, I'm like older than this guy. And I'm like shaking like a little, you know, like this fan, like losing his mind. But it was cool. It was cool.
Have you done any pieces for athletes outside of the NHL or, you know, outside of the New York Islanders, really? I know you did the Lemieux one for your son. But, you know, aside from that, has any other athletes reached out to you?
No, I haven't had that opportunity, you know, and that's, you know, I think now. The way social media goes, I think, you know, to find that right avenue, you know, maybe who knows, you know, I don't push it too far. You know, I just kind of, it's a time frame. Like I said, this is my side gig. And if this can carry me in my retirement life, this would be great. As long as my eyesight and hands don't go, I'm okay. But, you know, nah, it's been pretty much the Islanders. And you know what? It's fortunate enough. Listen, and you can know working with them and dealing with these guys, they're humble. They're down to earth, and I feel like I'm like trying to be the same way. You know, I'm not looking for that. Like, I mean, we all want to make $1 million, I guess. You know, want to be like, hey, I'm good. But listen, I've had, like I said, this has been fun. This is really cool. So,
well, I'm happy that you're getting everything out of it that you deserve, and the recognition, I'm sure, is a big part of all that. You know, especially, you know, for artists. To be recognized and just to have people love their work, that's like the biggest thing, right? Like you're enjoying creating all that stuff. So when someone picks it up and gets that same love and enjoyment out of something that you've put your heart into, that's got to be the most rewarding thing. And to an extent, you know, the reaction I get to some of the podcasts sometimes has been fantastic, and it gets better and better every week. And that's what keeps me going, is the fact that people seem to be enjoying what I'm doing. Sometimes I feel like I have no idea what I'm doing, but.
No, I agree with you. Sometimes I'm like, why am I doing this? And what am I doing? No, I get you. No, it's true. It's true.
All right. So, you mentioned Instagram a couple of times. Why don't you throw your Instagram name out there? This way people can come and follow you and see what you do on a daily. Because I don't even think that I'm following you on Instagram right now. So as soon as you say it, I'm going to follow you as we're talking.
Yeah, no, that's cool. You know, it's the Instagram is, of course, it's Sean's, S-E-A-N-S, 1470.
All right.
So, and then you'll see the picture. I think my profile picture is the new drawing of Leonard. So that's up there. So, or it used to be the Barzal piece. I have the Calder piece, which is now hanging in my son's room now until, you know, I get, quote, the right buyer. But actually, I'm working on that right now. I've put my feelers out, and we're trying to get Matt to actually sign that. I know he's aware of the drawing. I mean, he's given me a couple of likes on it and stuff. So, hey, you know, if you guys listen to the podcast, hello, I'm waiting for you, you know, as they say.
Give Sean some love, because he's got 346 followers currently. So we got to get that up there. Got to get more exposure for you in that end.
Exactly. That's pretty funny because, yeah, with the Twitter thing, I think I had some young woman on there, and she's like, how do you only have 300? I'm like, listen, it is what it is, you know, and you see other people have like 1,000. I'm like, well, you know, less love is better love, I guess. I don't know. So.
All right. So now that we talked about all that, and I feel giddy just talking to you and having you on, because it's
no thanks.
It's
an amazing, no, this is great.
Amazing thing. You're so talented, dude. Like I wish I had that kind of talent.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Now, I laugh at times, and I guess it's almost every kind of artist. I don't look at it like I go, you know, it's okay. You know, it's, and people look at me, what do you mean it's okay? That's awesome. I'm like, all right, well, no, thank you. You know, and you don't want to get, I never want to be above it, because yeah, it's a nice talent that I have. And like I said, it's my side thing, and it's enjoyable. I'll sit in my art, you know, turn on some music. I listen to like Sirius, you know, Hair Nation and, you know, the Turbo and all the other stuff. And I just kind of crank out sometimes, and I just draw, and it's the best feeling in the world. So.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Now let's talk about why we both do the things that we do, the New York Islanders.
Yeah.
So what was your reaction in July? Not that I want to keep rehashing you-know-who leaving, but we're rapidly approaching his return on the 28th. So, you know, take me through July and how that hit you probably the same way it hit me.
Yeah, you know what? It was kind of, you know, as the cycles of emotions, as they say. You know, I think there was a time I'm like, nah, there's no way he's going to leave. You know what? We got Trotz. We got Lou. This is going to be good. You can only see we're going to get better. This is, you know, moving forward. And then you have the motion of like, all right, man, crap, maybe he's leaving. You know, I'm like, it's been too long. You know, the days have kept coming and coming. And you're like, you don't hear anything. And you're like, man, is he staying? No, he's got to stay. And then you get to the point and it's like, you know, that same day. And then, you know, you see that first picture, pajamas. And you're like, what? Are you serious? You going back home? I'm like, you just said you wanted to be here. And the anger and the frustration and, you know, my son, oh, you think I was bad. I was like, I'm like, all right, whoa, let's pull it back in, fella. You know, slow down for a second. But you know what? I guess maybe in the end now I'm like, you know what? Fine. If he was here, maybe we wouldn't be doing as well. Is that a fair assessment? Is that something, you know what I mean? Like, maybe it would be too selfish to say, you know what? Hey, you know what? Fine. Go ahead. Go do what you're going to do. But yeah, no, it was anger. At first it was anger. And it probably still is anger. But you know what? Right now, I don't care. You know what? Where we are right now, I'll take it.
You know, the benefit of him leaving is the cap space that it opened up. And now that Lou Lamoriello is at the helm and they have the talent on the roster that they do, and they, you know, they want to supplement that with, you know, a scoring winger and maybe a right shot defenseman, which JP and I went into yesterday at length in the podcast.
Okay.
But, you know, you've got all this cap space that you could add. Not a replacement for JT, because I don't necessarily think that they would get a center, but you know, you can see a guy like Panarin potentially coming here, and you know, maybe a Duchesne. You never know. I definitely think that they need to extend Leonard.
Absolutely.
The way that Brock Nelson has been playing, I know this is going to go against a lot of opinion, but I feel like they need to give him a nice like 3 or 4 year deal as well. And I get attached to players, and I've mentioned this before. I was there when they drafted Brock. I have a picture that I post of him all the time. He's on the phone with Kyle Oposo at the draft, and he's like this young boy. You know, he's 18 years old, 17 years old. And here I'm a blogger, and I'm interviewing this kid. And, you know, he's turned into a man right in front of our eyes, married, you know, kids. And when you get attached like that, it's hard to see them maybe go someplace else. And I think that's the biggest thing for me with Tavares leaving. You know, I had an anxiety attack in Montreal at that draft because of some other stuff that was going on in my life at the same time, hit me all while I was away. And, it turned out, you know, we did make the correct pick because they were going all over the place as to what Snow was going to do. And, I wound up enjoying myself and making a whole bunch of connections and
perfect. Yeah.
But you know, him leaving ultimately spawned into the Isles Faithful podcast. Cause I took that name from his letter. You know, the players refer to the fans as the Isles Faithful and
yeah,
you know, here we are.
Perfect. Exactly.
So take a negative and turn it into a positive 100%.
Oh, absolutely. No, and I think we really have. And, you know, to see going forward and, you know, you see some of the memes and the pictures of Tavares after we won that first game and him looking over like, you know, when you just leave, you know, your girlfriend, you realize you shouldn't have. You know, you're like, you laugh. You know, I'm like, listen, it's February 28th is going to be a great game. I mean, unfortunately, I'm not going to be there. You know, I got to work. I got to pay the bills, too. But I'll make sure I'll home in time to watch it. And hopefully we do what we did, you know, the first time around. So.
We'll see. It's going to be fireworks for sure. And I'm sure it's going to be loud. Very, very, very loud.
Oh, absolutely. He's not going to be a happy camper stepping onto that ice in his old building. So it's what a fitting return, right? You know, back in the old barn. That's going to be great.
So tell me, what has been probably the biggest surprise for you this season. I know for me, it's been the play of Robin Leonard, especially after that first day of training camp article in The Athletic that he had written. To see him come out, especially, I believe it was his first game, and come out and get a shutout. And he had a couple of little hiccups here and there with some injuries, but the way he's been playing, the way Thomas Greiss has bounced back and has been playing, those are two big things for me. So let me hear some of your big ones.
Well, definitely, I think goaltending. I mean, to see what the tandem is doing and then how Trotz is playing them. You know, listen, the goals against have been great, and the way that they've been working together. You know, do we need number one goalie? Yeah, maybe later on down the road, but the goaltending, I think, has been big. Defense. Just the mindset of the proper, you know, where they're playing, you know, getting in front. And it's not like last year, which was a nightmare. You know, you just like they weren't in the zone. They were moving too much. And then this year, just see the consistency. You know, they're playing man to man. And the whole idea of, I think, as we call it, as team, you see them. They're playing as a team. Like yesterday's game, Matt Martin coming back. I think that was written all over the place today. Matt Martin coming back and basically saving that game by diving, you know, like you didn't see that last year. Last year was kind of like, you know, yeah, we're going to lose this. See you later. But this year it's like it's full front. I think it's great. Those two, I think, are the biggest thing. I mean, defense and goaltending, it's been huge. And you know what? Maybe the consistency of everybody contributing. You know, you have nobody's like lighting it up. It wasn't like, you know, Tavares saying, you know, 30 something plus goals, but yeah, you got Barzal, you got Lee, you got even, you know, thank God Olivier finally scored today. You know, he was a little bit of a drought, but you know, these guys are all in double digits. And I think that was a record a few weeks ago where we had X amount of players, you know, in double digits. That was the first time since the early 80s.
Yeah.
So, you know, those aspects, I think it's just nice to see overall.
You know, then you got like Casey Cizikas with double digit goals, and he could potentially hit 20 for the first time in his career. And, you know, they were saying on the broadcast the other night that Casey was a pretty good goal scorer back in his junior days. And, you know, I've brought this up too, like the whole fourth line, the fact that Matt Martin is back and they reunited the best fourth line in hockey. All three of those guys are skating in ways they haven't skated in a really long time. And Clutterbuck, right. you could tell Clutterbuck was nursing an injury. Cizikas, he was injured a couple of times last season as well. Matt Martin, he's improved in ways I didn't really think he would be able to improve. But let's not also forget, you know, he played alongside Steven Stamkos for Sarnia. So. You know,
that's what I think
guys,
a lot of people miss that. You're right. I mean, I always bring that up. I'm like, yo, Matt Martin used to play with Stamkos, you know, in a line.
We drafted both of Stamkos' line mates that year. We drafted Matt Martin, and I believe it was Justin DiBenedetto was on the other side. But I often joke also that I want to see Matt Martin get a shot in the shootout, because you from time to time see some video that the Islanders post on Instagram or Twitter of him messing around when they're doing shootout moves in practice, and he's got some silky mitts. I'm surprised that they haven't thrown him in there. Granted, we haven't really had too many shootouts, thankfully.
Listen, and please, no more shootouts. I can't. We're horrible. I'm like, I cringe every time we go to a shootout. I'm like, please, like, just end this.
You know, again, no shootouts in the playoffs. So if we match up against Tampa, it's going to go until they're either falling down dead or, you know, it goes in a net somehow.
Absolutely.
So let's see now. How about the trade deadline? What do you suspect Lou Lamoriello will do, or what are some of the moves that, you know, you would want to see as a fan?
As a fan right now, I mean, honestly, I don't, you know, want to see too much. I'm afraid of the biggest word is chemistry. You know, you see what this team is doing, and you know what? I mean, unless you bring in, you know, do you get a Panarin? You know, it's, you dangle out, you know, what's going on with Mitch Marner up in Toronto. You know, is that something? Think about the connection they have up there. You know, I know he's not fully committed yet, but you know what? Tough call. It really is a tough call, because right now you're playing well. And do you bring in another scorer? You kind of need it. I mean, you see these games that, you know, we're not doing great, but really, I don't want to see anybody go. You know what I mean? At this point, you know, as a fan, it's like, yeah, I go back and forth, but you know, who goes where? Do you get rid of a Hosang, which I hear he's now been scratched like what, 3 games now in the AHL? Like, what's going on there? You know, some team is going to jump on him, but what do you get in return? What is the going prices? I mean, Brian Boyle went for, what was it, a second round pick?
Yeah, second rounder.
You know what I mean? So to me, it's like, and what are the standards right now? It's been like all these little deals off and on, but we have a big talent pool down below. Are you giving up the future for now? I'd rather see this team, you know, be like a Pittsburgh or a Chicago and kind of like, hey, let's hold on to it. Kind of, you know, yeah, build and then, you know, move forward. Don't get me wrong. You know, yeah, we'd love to see him do great, but consistency is big now. You know, don't do one and done and all of a sudden we disappear for 2 more years. We've had enough of that torture, you know? So the group, I think we have, and it's unexpected. I mean, we've all looked at it and you see the Leo Komarov and the, you know, Valerie, you know, Filippa coming in, you're like, what the heck is he doing? Thomas Kunackle, and, you know, everybody's been steady. But, you know, you just, as they say, you know, put your faith in Lou. You see something in these guys that, you know, most people never thought of. But, yeah, you know what, as trading, I don't know. I think right now, I think you stand pat. You know, you look at, I might get some flack on that. I'd be like, what the hell is Sean talking about? You know, you out of your mind? Yeah, we got to add somebody. Get Panarin, go this, you know, whatever. So. Move forward.
I'm not comfortable with what Panarin or Duchene would cost as a rental. You know, would they would they put the Islanders over the top? Probably. But again, you're going to mortgage some of the future there unless you could mix in like our first rounder with some lesser prospects, you know, and JP and I brought this up yesterday. You know, I love Anthony Beauvillier, but I could see him maybe being dangled because of the depth
of course.
We have.
No, you're right.
You know, and then you got a guy like Aho who's got no place to come up to, you know, in the NHL, and he's a solid guy. And
yeah,
we have.
I hope not Bolivier because I have a jersey, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, and that's why I hate getting numbers on jerseys because when you get that one, like you said, you have that commitment or that connection to that player, and you're like, oh yeah, this would be great, and. They're gone. You're like, son of a, you know. Like,
my only relevant jersey at this point is a Boychuk jersey. Everybody else is gone.
So, yeah, no, that's the thing. I'd rather see us kind of sit pat a little bit and, you know, maybe some minor things. I don't know if you want to pad the draft. I don't know. You know, you know what? In the end, it's not us. It's the organization. It's Lou, and whatever he decides is we're going to have to sit with. Some of us are going to hate it. Some of us are going to love it. That's the way I look at it. So,
my hope is, you know, we could sit and trust the process because it's Lou Lamoriello,
right.
And you know, I think there is some fear there with some of the moves that he's made in Toronto and his later years in New Jersey, but at the same time. You know, everyone has said now that they're playing with house money, the Islanders are. And, you know, do you use some of that to improve to see, you know, if we could become this year's Las Vegas Golden Knights? I think making a small move to improve the power play is something that you should ultimately 100% do because the power play has been the biggest glaring need for the New York Islanders. I mean, we scored one tonight. We scored one yesterday. So, I mean, it seems to be showing some life. And it's
streaky. Yeah.
It has been kind of streaky, and they haven't been consistent there. So to have another threat, at least, or just a little bit of more firepower on one of the units, I think would be a big thing. But ultimately, if the Islanders go and they win a couple of rounds, you know, that's good for development of some of the younger players here who haven't experienced playoff hockey and like Matt Barzal and Anthony Beauvillier and Michael Dal Cole, because you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, once Ladd comes up, you know, back from injury, which he's apparently close, I don't know if Dal Cole is going to stick in the lineup because he's just not going to require waivers to go back down. And that's another thing where it could be an addition like that, you know, where Hickey and Ladd come back and that's their deadline additions.
Yeah, that you're right. I mean, and nothing against Andrew Ladd, you know, I mean, just, he needs that time to come in and, you know what, he can be that different person. You know, he might be that leader that we need. You know, like you said, on the power play or something like that, that, you know, jump starts everything. You know, that could, like you said, that could be our acquisition right there. So, who knows?
I guess we're going to just continue to chip away here game by game. Yep. And just, I'm enjoying the heck out of it. I'm sure you are. And
oh, absolutely.
We hope here it continues to progress. So, Sean, I guess that wraps everything up. We got to pretty much everything we wanted to get to. Why don't you give us all your socials where everybody can find all your stuff and how they can follow you?
Yeah, no, once again, you can reach out to me on Twitter at Bucket106 or BCKT106. And at Instagram, naturally, at Sean's1470. Yeah, check it out. I mean, I got a lot of artwork on Instagram. It's out there, a couple other pictures and stuff. But yeah, please follow, you know, just see what's going on. I do sell the stuff. And here's my disclaimer on the artwork. Please understand, you know, these drawings are one of a kind. I emphasize it over and over. I don't do prints. I mean, prints do just cost extra for me in the end. I know that becomes more cost effective for the consumer, but my drawings go out. I do usually two sizes. I'll do whatever size, really. I mean, but the main size is 11 by 14. The bigger ones are 19 by 24. Wind frame 16 by 20 and 22 by 28. I usually go from 450 to 800. It seems like a lot of money, but you got to understand, in the end of it, if you break it down, it's about 200 hours worth of drawing time. It's $4 an hour, you know, so it, most people are like, oh, okay. But still, I get it. You know, we're consumers and stuff like that. But my biggest thing is, like, if you don't want something right now, please do me a favor, share my artwork, show it on the, you know, spread it, keep retweeting, you know, tag it, hash it, whatever.
I'm definitely going to use one of your images as the lead here for the post for this podcast episode. So it'll definitely get some rounds there.
No, I appreciate it, Mike, you know, and you know, whatever. And I said, it's nice. And I've been around, and like I said, my clientele has been awesome as well. Like I said, most, you know, currently has been Matt Martin. He's been a gentleman, and most hockey players are, but you know, to run down the list again, like I said, Travis Green, Eric Fichot had like five, Claude Lapointe, Dennis Vasky, Tommy Salo, Ziggy, and Matt Schneider. You know, the list goes on and on, but, you know, it's, like I said, it's been fun. And you know what, as long as I make a smile on somebody's face about, you know, hey, this is pretty cool, you know? So, but like I said, please share.
Will do, buddy. And, everybody, this is the Isles Faithful Podcast. I am your host, Michael Sherline, as always. Sean, thanks for coming on. You can find the show on all the different platforms you could possibly find them on. Google, Stitcher, Podbean, Spotify, TuneIn, all that crazy stuff. Every single day, it seems that I find it on another area that I had no idea it even existed on. So that's pretty cool. Also, don't forget, we are now on YouTube. We've got a couple of new subscribers based on the YouTube channel, and there's been some great comments over there. So check that out. You could find a link in the description once this episode is online. You could also always find the show at theislesfaithful.com. Seems that is one of the most popular options. You could stream it right there. You could stream it via mobile. You could do whatever you need to do to listen to the podcast. So, Sean, once again, thank you for coming on. I appreciate everything, and I'm sure we will be speaking on Twitter as we have been.
Absolutely, Mike. Thanks so much. I love doing this, and I love just chit-chatting and shooting the breeze, as they say. But you guys, this has been awesome. So, and I'm a faithful listener myself on my phone on train right into work every morning. So keep it up, man. It's been great.
I appreciate that, buddy. And we have a very big week coming up. We have Jillian Fisher, who is the YouTuber, coming on. We also have Mark Parrish is going to be joining me once again to catch up on everything that's transpired since we last spoke. And there's a couple of other guests in the pipeline, you know, over the next couple of days. So it's going to be a busy week. It's going to be a fun week. And I do this for you guys, the Isles Faithful. So thanks for listening again. This is episode 23. I'm Michael Sherline. Let's go, Islanders.